Is sickness a sign that you are being punished by God? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Lord cares for you? Now, when I tell you that the Lord cares for you, that doesn't mean God waves some magic wand over your head and takes away all your problems. God never promised us an easy life. He promised He'd be there for us. He said we would never have a cross too heavy that we couldn't carry. That's where we believe God cares for us. And to the extent we believe God cares for us, then each day we look for all the little signs of God's love in our life. Whether it's sunshine, or a phone call, or a note, or a person letting you pull out of a difficult driveway into traffic. There's powerful, powerful signs of God's loving care every day. But you have to have eyes to see them and ears to hear them. Today's scripture passage comes from John's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Now, do you see why I started the program out with that provocative question? Is sickness a sign that you are being punished by God? If you have a chance, because I just did verses 1, 2, and 3 of John's Gospel, chapter 9. If you have a chance, read the entire Gospel. Read the entire chapter 9, okay? It's all about this scenario of the man born blind and how the power of God is displayed. It makes for great reading. You know, I've been a priest for many years, many, many years. And over those many years, I occasionally have had people say to me, "Father, why is God punishing me? I don't know why I am being punished, but I know I am being punished." And often they're referring to the hardships in their life. Sickness that they might be experiencing or the sickness of a loved one is experiencing. We have to clear up something right away, and that's why I shared these first couple verses from chapter 9 of John's Gospel. God does not use sickness to punish us. Doesn't. I'm going to say it again. God does not use sickness to punish us. God is not vindictive. God is not vicious. God is not out to get you. Sickness is part of the incredible mystery of life and death that everybody experiences while walking on earth. Yes, I know, and I readily admit, that some people have more than their share of sickness and difficulties and disappointments and heartaches. And it's a tremendous mystery why some people. But this I know. And I know it very well, and I can root it in this scripture passage. Sickness is not a sign that you're being punished by God. It's a part of life, and life is very difficult. It takes an act of faith when we're sick, when we're debilitated, when it seems like our life is starting to come to an end. It takes an act of faith to believe that God loves us, that the sickness was not a punishment. Now, we can punish ourselves. We can cause the sickness by excessive drinking, smoking, a wild lifestyle. But you can't accuse God of punishing you for what you've done to your body. No. God is very respectful of free will. He will allow us to ruin our health. But that's not as a form of punishment. That's as a form of love, because God loves us so much, He gives us free will. You understand, don't you, that God's life is complicated by love, just as our life is complicated by love? You know that when you try to love somebody, when you try to talk sense into them, for example, if you think they're ruining their health, it's pretty evident that they're ruining their health, and they just won't listen to you. The sting of love in that case is very, very painful. And so it is with God. God is asking all of us to believe that the power of God can be displayed in every tragedy, in every illness, in every natural disaster. That's why it's so difficult to be a Christian, isn't it? I mean, we can pay lip service and say that we're Christians, but when push comes to shove, a lot of people quit believing in God and quit following God's ways when something bad happens to them. And I appreciate the fact that some people are sick for a long time, long, long time. And we can pray for miracles for them, and sometimes they get the miracles that allows them to be restored to health, and sometimes the miracle they receive is they're called home to heaven. I have to say that I've met people in my life, you probably have too, who've been very sick, spina bifida, very, very sick, and yet they were heroic, filled with happiness. I remember getting a letter from a lady who wrote me and said that she was widowed very, very young, and she had 6 children under 11. And how she never remarried. She spent her life taking care of her children, working hard inside the home and outside the home. And the way she wrote me, with such faith and with such love, self-sacrifice, it was very evident to me how close she was to God. Are you close to God? Because if you're close to God, you know that God writes straight with crooked lines. If you're close to God, you know it's not over until the end. You don't want to write the last chapter of your life story ahead of time. If you're close to God, you can take lemons and make it lemonade. If you're close to God, then you can see how God writes straight with crooked lines, how God makes sense out of the nonsense. No, it's not easy. Have I ever said it was easy on this radio program? Is it possible? We know Scripture tells us with God all things are possible. Do miracles happen? I believe that miracles happen. With all my heart, I believe that miracles happen. I've been to some of the great miracle places in the world. I've been to St. Anne de Vaupre. I have been to Fatima. I've been to Lourdes. I've been to Guadalupe in Mexico. I've been to the place where St. Padre Pio worked so many miracles, in San Giovanni Rotondo, down at the spur of the hill of the Boot of Italy. Yeah, I do believe in miracles. I also understand that some people who have had a severe illness have been sick for very, very long, and who prayed with great intensity and great fervor and great belief, and they didn't get the miracle. Yes, I know that too. That's the beauty of taking one day at a time. We can put up with something for one day that if we thought we had to put up with it the rest of our lives, well, you know, we wouldn't get out of bed, or we'd do something even worse to ourselves. Right here, right now, all of us must trust God. Right here, right now, all of us must say to God, I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. And if you do that, and if I do that, if I practice what I preach, then God is able to work powerfully in our life, even through our sickness. We're not being punished by our sickness, not by God at least. And we trust that God will work miracles for us in a way that's best for us. make that act of faith right now. I believe you love me and I won't be afraid. Well, who are our prayer partners today? I want you to whisper a little prayer now or after the program is over, but whisper a little prayer for people with rheumatoid arthritis. You've seen them. You've seen their hands all crippled up. They can hardly hold on to anything. Very, very painful. Yes, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. And today's food for thought comes from a woman named Esther DeWall. And she writes, "That mystery of Christ's death and resurrection is the heart and center of everything. Each day and every day, we are to live caught up in that great mystery. Both the mystery of the death and the resurrection. Both. Because that's where our hope comes from, the resurrection." Well, let me see if I can make you smile or laugh. Another true story sent in to Reader's Digest. "Caught up running errands, my mom's friend forgot where she parked. A police officer, noticing her agitation, asked, 'Is something wrong?' 'I can't find my car,' she explained. 'What kind of car is it?' She gave the police officer a quizzical look and said, 'Name some.' Apparently, she not only did not know where she parked the car, she didn't even know what kind of car she had. Oh, you got to laugh, folks. You know, laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shackles over life's hard knocks. Oh, you got to laugh. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Come on, let me know you listen to the program. It's such a shot in the arm for me. Send me your prayer intentions. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. There's no charge for it. It comes out 6 times a year. It's the one place where I publish where I am preaching, in case you would like to see and hear me in person. And you can always send me a financial gift, to keep my hospital for the very poor and sick open in Oaxaca, Mexico. Oaxaca is such a poor place, folks. My heart goes out to the poor Mexican people. Oaxaca has the highest percentage of indigenous people, those who speak different languages, 16 different languages. In the state of Oaxaca, more than any other state. You can make the check out to Tash, T-A-S-H, and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And I want to encourage you to visit my website, if you use the internet, at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful.